We are doing Binyan HaBayit, and we had our first class about speech within marriage, and now we will continue on that topic. Now this is a very touchy topic, and this is a very underrated topic. Men underrate the importance of speech, in marriage in general. So I want to begin with a chazal, because if I begin with anything else, I'll get someone upset. So I don't want to get men upset, and I don't want to get women upset. So I'll quote a chazal, which women won't be happy with, but I didn't say it, chazal said it. Chazal say, Hashem said, I thought to create the woman from the area of the eye, from a bone that's around the eye, and I decided I don't want them to be too inquisitive, so I didn't create them from something around the eye. Hashem said, I thought to create them from something around the mouth, a bone around the mouth, and I said, I don't want them to talk too much, so I won't create them from a bone somewhere around the mouth. Hashem said, I thought to create them from a bone around the feet, but I said, I don't want them to be going out all the time shopping or who knows where, so I won't create them from a bone around the feet. What will I create them from? Hashem says, I'll create them from a modest place, a quiet place, a place that keeps to itself, the rib. And even though I created them from the rib, Hashem says, oh, are they so inquisitive? Oh, are they so talkative? Oh, do they like to go out and see what's going on outside? Now, that's what the Midrash says. But we have to see who is the Midrash talking about when the Midrash says this. The Midrash is talking about the greatest woman of history. The Midrash says, who was the inquisitive woman? That was Sarah. Avram, in this week's parasha, is going to talk to the angels, and Sarah sits by the tent and she wants to hear what they're talking about. Who was the woman who went out? It was Leah. Her husband comes home from the field and she goes out to greet him and says, tonight I made a deal, you come to me. So her daughter Dinah went out. There were girls playing outside and she wanted to go dance with them. And we know the continuation of the story. So it's interesting that Chazal teach us these lessons from the greatest women in history. And this teaches us, firstly, that this is part of a woman's nature. Meaning, it doesn't matter who you would marry. You could have married Sarah Imenu, and yet she'd be sitting there behind the tent, curious to hear what the angels are saying and what Avram is going to discuss with them. So the next time you're on the phone and your wife says, what do you mean you don't agree with him? And you say, I'll explain when I get off the phone. And then you continue talking on the phone and she says, but wait, I have an idea. And you say, okay. And she says, but I don't understand. And you say, I'll get it. Don't get upset. This inquisitive nature is something that is built in. I always thought that Midrash was telling us how to appreciate women. That Midrash was telling us, don't take it badly if your wife is inquisitive. Don't take it badly if she wants to know what's going on. That's the way it's been from way back when. Chazal tell us, Mashal lema hadavar dome. What is this similar to? A man comes home and he tells his wife, anything I have at home, you could touch, you could look at, you could use. That barrel in the corner, don't touch. He had a scorpion in that barrel. So he has the barrel sealed. And she's a good wife. He told her, don't touch. She doesn't touch. Along comes Mr. Satan, knocks on the door, and starts schmoozing with her. And as he's talking, he says, you know, your husband, there's another girl he really likes. And he bought her some really luscious dates. And he put the dates in that barrel. And that's why he told you not to touch that barrel. So the woman, she hears the story, and now it is oh so tempting to see what is really in that barrel. So she contains herself an hour, 2 hours, and then finally she says, you know what? What could be so terrible if I just stick my hand in and see what's in the barrel? So she sticks her hand in and gets bitten by the scorpion. And her husband comes home and he sees her hand is swelling and her heart is palpitating. And he tells her, oh no, you must have stuck your hand in the barrel. Didn't I tell you not to stick my hand in the barrel? Chazal say that's Adam HaRishon and Chava. Adam told Chava, don't eat from the fruit, don't touch from the fruit. And sometimes we have to know that we're setting up temptation. If you don't want your wife to divulge a secret, don't tell her. If you told her, so don't be so upset when she divulged it. So I'm not coming to condone divulging secrets. All the wives shouldn't tell their husbands, go listen to that class, you see? I could tell all your secrets. No, obviously not. Obviously, when you confide in someone, you expect them to keep it. Yet, anyone that's read Aesop's Fables, or anyone that's read Tanakh, or anyone that's read anything about history knows that that's not the way the world works. The world is filled with stories of people who divulge secrets and couples that divulge one another's secrets. So, in our discussion of speech, we have to know that we all have our limitations, and Chazal taught us that even the greatest of women had their limitations, and part of the intrinsic nature of a woman is that she will need to talk more than men. Chazal tell us there are 10 kabim that were given down to the world. There are 10 measurements of speech that God put down in the world. One was given to men, and 9 were given to women. So they have a need to talk 9 times as much as we do. That's what Chazal say. There's a joke. There are 2 jokes, and you guys are at the dating stage, so these are worthwhile jokes. One is, if you see a couple on a date, how do you know where they're holding? So, if he's doing all the talking, they're in the beginning of, they're getting to know one another. If it's equal, so now they're both comfortable and they're almost engaged. If she's doing most of the talking, they're already engaged or married. If she's talking and he's like trying to find an escape, you know they've been married for a few years. So that's one story. The other story is a guy asks a girl, how come is it on the dates you listen? You're so quiet. You're so interested. So she tells him, the deal is like this. Us girls, we listen on the dates, and then we make it up for the rest of your life. Now the truth is, there's truth to that. There's a saying that says that when men get married, they get married hoping that she will remain the way they think she is when they're dating her. Meaning when you're dating her, so she talks less, she's more docile. You have this picture of a doll. And then you get married and you discover she's a human being, just like you. And then you say, wait a second, this is who I married? So the answer is yes, that's who you married. She's a wonderful human being, but she's not what you thought she was. Men get married with this misconception that she'll be exactly the way they think she was when they dated her. Well, men have needs and women have needs. Women have a need to talk and they're aware of it. Men have a need to talk and they're not aware of it. And we will, Bezrat Hashem, discuss that as we go on tonight. So the guy comes before the judge and his wife says, I want a divorce. So the judge asks her why. So she says, well, he never tells me he loves me. So the judge turns to the guy and says, is that so? So the guy says, no. So the girl says, yes, it is. And the guy says, that's not true. We've been married 20 years. 20 years ago, I told you I loved you. And the woman says, so? So the guy says, well, it didn't change, so why should I say anything? So it's been the same ever since. To an extent, that's the way us men are. Why should I say anything? Everything's good, right? If I come home and supper's ready, why should I say anything? It's good. If I go to sleep and the bed's made, why should I say anything? Everything's good. If I get up and I have clean laundry, why should I say anything? Everything's good. So if it were up to us men, as we discussed in last week's class, we would just grunt. That's a sit down. Said you guys must have noticed over the last week how much men grunt and point and signal. And all these male things. But that's us men. Why bother talking? But the truth is that we do have a need to talk, we're just not aware of it. And women, they're very aware and they have a totally different need to talk than we do. So, a guy and his wife, they're newly married, and it happens, you know. They have a misunderstanding, and they're upset at one another, and the guy calls her up the next day, and he says, look, I know we spoke, and I must have hurt your feelings, you hurt my feelings last night. Let's meet today, let's go out, I'll come home tonight, we'll go for a walk, we'll talk, and we'll work things out. So the girl says, great idea. Okay, they meet at the end of the day, they start going for a walk. And what does the guy say? He says, look, I think that I was wrong in this and that and the other thing that was said last night, and I think it wasn't fair that you did A, B, and C that last night. And the girl's silent. So he looks at her and he says, well, what do you say? Nothing. So he says, well, I don't understand. Didn't we say we're going to work this out? Nothing. Silence. So he says, I see something's upsetting you. What's upsetting you? I don't understand. We said we talk. I said my end. What's your end? Silence. I hear. He says, I know you hear, but I want to hear you. So tell me, what's bothering you? How do you view things? She's nothing. It's okay. I hear what you said. So he says, look, I'm sorry. Did I say things too harshly? I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I was just spelling things out. But if you don't tell me how you see things, we can't work it out. You know, we're married. We have to talk. We have to communicate. You always tell me we should do more talking. So I'm talking. Now you talk. Tell me. If you tell me, then I'll understand. If I understand, we can work things out. Why aren't you telling me? So she says, never mind. He says, what do you mean, never mind? You're upset. Tell me, what's wrong? So she says, no, it's okay. It's okay. So he's already at his wit's end. He says, I don't understand. Didn't we say we're going to talk? Don't you want this marriage to work? So shouldn't we talk? Why aren't we talking? Okay, hi. Okay, what do you mean, hi? What's wrong? Tell me. Nothing's wrong. Did I say something was wrong? Everything's perfect. But everything's not perfect. Tell me, what do you want? Nothing. Silence. They're walking and he sees she's upset. And he tells her, look, I don't understand why you're upset. I did my end. I said, you're not telling me. And now I'm talking. You always tell me you want me to talk. I'm talking. Why don't you tell me what's wrong? Nothing. Silence. They go home. They eat their supper in silence. She's upset. He's upset. If he's smart, he'll be quiet. If he's like the average man, he'll still say a few things. I don't understand you. What's wrong with you? Why can't you talk? Why can't you tell me what you're thinking? Why can't you tell me what you're feeling? So that's the way the average man would work, but hopefully we'll all be more intelligent by the end of tonight. And to make a long story short, it boils over, and after a few days, things are fine between them. And then a few weeks pass, he calls her up and says, you know what, tonight I'm going to come home. Let's go out for a walk again. So they go out for a walk, and he asks her, how was your day? And she says, oh, it was very nice. And how was this coworker that always gets on your nerves? Well, today she was okay. You know, she was as annoying as usual, but a little bit less annoying than usual. And how was your lunch that I made you? Ah, that was delicious. Thank you for the pickles. They were excellent. It was exactly right. You got it right. And they're talking about nonsense for a good 10-15 minutes, and after 15 minutes the conversation veers over to what happened that night 3 weeks earlier. And then in conversation she tells him the way she sees it, and suddenly he realizes there was an aspect of the story that he was completely unaware of. And when they finish the conversation, he says, now fill me in. How come you weren't willing to talk to me about it 3 weeks ago when we spoke about it? Was it too fresh? So she says, no. And he says, then why not? So she says, well, you didn't tell me that you wanted to talk about it. So he says, I don't understand. I called, we agreed, that's what I did. I came, I did my end. And she says, right, but you didn't tell me you wanted to talk about it. What's she saying? What she's saying is that in speech, women have a whole different formula for speech than men. If you want to talk to me about something, so then you have to first say, hi, how are you? After you say, how are you, we have to talk about nonsense. Why do we have to talk about nonsense? Because the first thing we have to do is connect. We have to connect and get close. Once we've gotten close, then there's legitimacy to dealing with topics that are hurtful. But if you haven't taken the time to show me that you love me, you haven't taken the time to connect with me again, You can't start talking to me about things that are hurtful. Who are you? I know you're my husband, but you think you could just walk off the street and talk to me like that? Doesn't work that way. So this is an important rule. Now, men try to fake this. They hear this class, and if they're good husbands, so they come home and they have to deal with something, and they do something like this. Hi, how was your day? And how was work? And how are the pickles? Now tell me, can we talk about... It's not going to work. Guys, take it easy. Let the conversation flow for 15 minutes about nothing. Don't, whatever your agenda is, give it 15 minutes before you do your agenda. Now, it's only fair because I've been getting phone calls from female listeners that we pause and do something we didn't do in previous class, address our virtual audience that is listening. By the same token that I think it's fair to expect of a husband to understand his wife and that he should take the time and have conversation like this to her, it would be nice if the wives listened to this class and also knew that husbands have, they also have their code of speech. When a husband walks in from work, he doesn't want to talk. He wants to say, hi, my day was fine, now I want to sit in peace and quiet and eat or do whatever I want to do, but I want 15 minutes of not talking. And this is just a male need. Just like the women need to talk, the men need quiet. So now you have a situation like this. She's had all day frustrating with the kids. This kid didn't listen. That kid painted on the wall. This kid we thought was toilet trained just made in the middle of the dining room. The babysitter that promised she'd come on time didn't come. My mother called and said she's not bringing over supper. Now she had to make supper, clean up everything. And now the husband's coming home to all this mess. Her nerves have been totally wiped out. She remembers the time that her pulse beat at a normal pace, but it seems like it was ages ago. And now the husband walks into all this mess and he says, hi, how are you? And she says, you don't want me to curse, honey. I really don't want to curse. Let's not discuss how I am. He's thinking, okay. This is what I came home to. Okay. So she has a need. She's had a tough day. He has a need. He's had a tough day. He needs the quiet. She needs the comfort, the talk, the help. So we have to at least understand where we're both coming from. She has to understand that he needs his peace and quiet, and he has to understand that she needs something else. And then they could work out a compromise. Now, not every day is going to be as tiring for her or as tiring for him. If we walk in prepared for this difference, then we won't have what happens in many homes, that 2 seconds after he walks in, give me a minute, give me peace and quiet, I just walked home. What do you mean? You don't care? You've been out all day, you don't want to talk to me? So it's not worded that way. But very often, within 5 minutes after the guy came home, all day he's been wanting to be with his wife, he wanted to have time with her, he wanted to talk to her, but not the minute he walked in the door. 10 minutes after he walked through the door. She's been waiting all day to be with him, and she's been waiting for that minute he walked through the door. So the minute he walks through the door, she's going to pound him with everything she's had on her chest all day. And she expects him to be a good husband. You care. If you weren't here helping me all day, at least you should listen to what I went through all day. So we have conflicting needs. We have to think how to resolve that. There'll be times that he gives in. There'll be times that she gives in. But it's important to be aware that there's a conflict here. There's a formula that's set for disaster if we don't think in advance how we're going to deal with it. So we began discussing that by women, speech is very different than men. By women, speech is connecting. And by men, speech is very practically oriented. This is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I have to say, let me get my thought across, we finish talking. Now, when conversation begins, so men, being that very, very practical creature, is always searching for the solution. So we start a conversation, and the woman says, there's so much work for Shabbos. Now she wants to krechts about Shabbos. She wants to talk to him about Shabbos. She wants to talk about the work. He thinks, if she's talking, there must be purpose, because we are men, and if we talk, there is purpose. So, if she says, there is so much work for Shabbos, in his mind, what does that mean? She wants me to do something. So he looks at her and he says, you know how much work I have to do tonight? What do you want me to do? And she says, did I ask you to do anything? And he looks at her and says, well, then why are you telling me there's so much work for Shabbos? And she says, I can't share with you what's going on in my life? I can't.
So he says, oh, you just want to complain. Oh, so now I'm a complainer. So now I'm a whiner. Classical. Guys, this isn't, classical.
Basically, whatever you do, you're digging yourself a hole.
No. We have to understand one another. We have to understand one another. The first step for a man is, before you talk about her talking, realize that you're talking. Be quiet. That's the first step. She said, you know, there's so much work for Shabbos. Before you say something, just say yes. Just listen. We have to learn how to listen. I have a friend whose wife simply wanted sympathy. So she said, you know, it's so hard cleaning the floor for Shabbos. So they were a newlywed couple. So he said, you know, I feel so bad for you. I'll do it. He started doing the floor. He's upset. I can't believe it. I just worked all day. She wants me to do the floor. She's upset. I can't believe it. I want to share with him what's going on in my life. And all he's doing is doing the floor. He finishes the floor and she looks at him and says, you don't care about me. And he says, what do you mean? I don't care about you. I don't understand. I just did the floor. What did she want? She didn't want the floor done. True story. He's been doing the floor for many years now. and I never filled him in. I happened to understood what went on there, but I didn't think I could fill him in a way that would bring Shalom Bayis. I was a very good boy here. I witnessed this happen. No, I overheard the story and I put two and two together. So they're both gritting their teeth and they're both upset because neither one got what they wanted. So before you say, Moshe, before you say you can't do anything right, the first thing as a husband you have to do is listen. Us husbands are very poor listeners because we live in a world where speech is goal-oriented. So if she spoke, she wants something. And we have to get accustomed to the concept, if she spoke, she wants you to listen. It doesn't mean she wants anything else. Listen. She didn't say she wants anything. So the guy has 10 different meetings that day. And she says, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make it between the dentist and bringing the kids to the babysitter and doing the shopping. So he tells her, you know what, maybe I could squeeze in doing the shopping between the meetings. She never wanted that. They walk out of that conversation, she's wondering what's wrong with him and he's wondering what's wrong with her. He just offered her to twist his whole day around to help her out. And she's saying, I didn't ask for that. He's saying, I just offered you the greatest thing in the world. I care for you. I wanted to do what you want. And you're not happy, you're upset. She's saying, I didn't get what I wanted. I wanted to talk to him. I wanted his sympathy. I wanted his appreciation. Which touches on a point which we have a whole separate class on. What people need most within marriage is appreciation. If there's a conversation and you're not sure where it's headed, so listen to the fine tunes of appreciation. A guy sits down for supper and says, honey, the soup was excellent. The meat was delicious. The corn on the cob was out of this world. And she says, so you didn't like the falafel? And he's like, what do you mean? I didn't get to the falafel. What's she saying? The guy comes home and he says, you know, I don't know how you did it. You swept up the whole house. You put away the kids' toys. You put the kids to bed. You did the laundry. You hung out the laundry. You prepared Shabbos. How do you do it all in such a short time? And she says, nah, I didn't do the floor that well. I didn't do the laundry that well. What does she want him to say? Yes, you did. You're amazing. She's telling him, I want to hear more. He's saying, I don't understand. What did I say wrong? I said you did the laundry. I said you did the... Okay, why are you arguing with me? Us men also play this game, but not to the extent that women do. So if you're an intelligent husband, don't get upset. Don't fight City Hall. This is the way she was programmed. Just like we all discussed our things, that this is the way we were programmed. So play along. What's she telling you? She's saying, I want to hear that you do appreciate me. I didn't hear it enough. So what's the correct response? Yes, you did. Come on. You had to wake up early this morning. I wouldn't be able to do what you did. You showed appreciation. She knocked the appreciation, so redouble the appreciation. I want to discuss something that's hurtful to me.
it would seem like it doesn't have to be said, but because I witnessed it happen, I'm going to mention it. You have to call home. Every guy is responsible to call home. If you flew out to America to visit your parents, you have to call at least once a day. I would say even twice. If you don't call home, then you're a brute and an imbecile and an uncaring husband, and that's just the beginning of it. Our job, one of our responsibilities as husbands, is to show our wives that we love them. The Torah says, "Ve'el ishech teshukatech." Your desire will be for your husband. What's that a reference to? That's that God created woman from the time that Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, were removed from the Garden of Eden, that she has a perpetual need to be reassured that she is loved. We have a mitzvah in the Torah called Ona. Ona literally means time. Halachically, it means the number of times, the minimum, that a husband must have intimate time with his wife. So, the Torah defines for us, if you're home every night and you have a lot of free time, so then your obligation is this much. If you work out of town and you're home only this number of nights a week, your obligation is this much. If you're out of town and you're only home this number of nights a month, your obligation is this month. There's a minimum that the Torah says every husband must give his wife. Now, you'll ask, why does the Torah have to give me a minimum? Let every husband do what he wants. Well, one of the things, one of the mitzvahs that the Torah tells us is that the husband has to give his wife the feeling that she's cherished. What the Torah is telling us is that if you're home every night with a lot of free time on your hands, if you don't take the minimum number of times, and when you guys become chassanim, you'll learn what the minimum is depending on your lifestyle, then you're not fulfilling your job as a husband of making your wife feel cherished. It's not that you as a husband will have a need to be with your wife this many times a week. It's not that she has this physical need. It's that she has an emotional need. Every wife has a need to feel that she is cherished. And there are certain acts that every husband has to do to give her that feeling. One of them is giving her the time to talk. The Gemara tells us that Rav, you know, Rav was a disciple of Rebbe's. Rav was the generation that was the generation that overlapped. He was the last of the Tanaim and the first of the Amoraim. That was the generation where the Amoraim began. So Rav, the Gemara tells us, never spoke a plain conversation. He never spoke Sicha Betela. If you heard Rav talking, it was Torah. You'd never hear him talking idle chatter. He wouldn't ask you, well, what's the price of milk right now? You'd never hear him talking anything but Torah. Never. And yet the Gemara tells us that one of his disciples said, I want to learn from him. So he did something that the Gemara says was improper. He went and hid under the bed and heard what happens between Rav and his wife. And he hears that when Rav comes home at night, he's like a teenager with his wife. So he was in such shock that the Rebbe was so holy was behaving this way that he couldn't help himself, and he said, I don't believe it. So the Rebbe says, what chutzpah? This isn't Erech Eretz. You're hiding under my bed. But the Gemara says from that improper behavior, we do learn that Rav, with his own wife, as much as with everyone else, he was careful, he never said a word in vain. He took the time to joke around with her and speak to her. And speak to her about things that are not important, to joke around. That's one of the things that every husband has to do with his wife. And if you're going away for a business trip, then there's no room for any excuse if a husband doesn't call home at least once a day. At least. Now, I don't know. I wouldn't have thought I have to say it, but because I've seen people who don't do it, and you know what? After a guy doesn't do it, so then what are you going to do? Come and tell him, hey, buddy, what's wrong with you? So I'm telling you now, if you don't do it, there's something very wrong with you. You owe that to your wife. And there's nothing wrong if you know that she has a difficult test that day, then it's not only there's nothing wrong, the right thing is that you call at some point and you discuss with her, how did the test go? Remember, for her, speech is a sign of connection. If you love me, you talk to me. It's as simple as that. Men have difficulty
when it comes to expressing feelings, that is, any positive feelings. Like one guy once told me, well, I don't get mushy. You don't get mushy, but you do get angry. What does that mean, you don't get mushy? When you get angry, you know how to yell? So how come you could evict such emotion when you're upset? And yet when you have something positive to say, suddenly, you can't get mushy. Why can't you get mushy? What's wrong? Why is it, yes, appropriate to express emotion forcefully when it's negative emotion? Positive emotion, suddenly we have a hard time. So part of the problem is our ego. We have a hard time seeing beyond ourselves. If I say she's so great, well then what does that say about me? So in theory, there shouldn't be any competition between spouses. But in practice, there is. In practice, we're all human. And if I start telling her, you know you're amazing, you know you're the greatest parent our kids could ever have, you know that if not for you, our kids wouldn't be half what they are, you know I'm the luckiest man alive, you're my wife. If we said that with any sort of conviction, so first of all, she'd look at us like we fell off the moon. But that's wrong. Why? Why should it be that way? I once gave a compliment to someone, and he came back to me, we were really good friends, and he said, do me a favor, it sounds so fake. So I told him, but it's not fake, it's the truth. I told you what I meant. When I tell a guy, you know, I'm happy to see you, I missed you, a lot of guys look at me like, huh? Well, what's huh? I don't understand. I can't tell you I missed you. You weren't at the Mahon for 3 weeks. I'm happy you came back. People are not accustomed, unfortunately, people are not accustomed in our day and age to hearing any positive emotion being said with conviction unless it's flattery or fake. So we have to break that habit. It can't be. Everyone needs it in marriage. I think maybe we'll take any questions. If not, maybe we'll add one more point before we call it a night. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Do you tell your wife things that sound overly fake? And does she understand that it's true?
Well, I don't think it's right to get personal. I speak theory in this class. I then listen to the classes myself and try to live up to it. It's I talk to myself as much as I talk to you guys. But what we're talking is theory that I think we should all aspire to.
My real question is, does she understand?
I think that every person has to find the way to express it, that it will be understood. But if we're bringing up that point, then there's an intelligent way to compliment as well. Meaning, you could say, that kugel was amazing. Or you could say, you know, if I could eat only that kugel tonight, I'd have that kugel. That kugel was the most fantastic thing I ever had. There was once a rabbi who, his wife brought the meal, and it was a Tuesday night, and as he's eating the meal, he starts singing Shabbos mirrors. So she calls out from the kitchen and says, is everything okay? Mm-hmm. So he said, the food was so amazing, I just felt Shabbos. Felt I have to sing Shabbos mirrors. There are intelligent ways to compliment. You don't always have to compliment like that. You could compliment also in passing. You could tell your mother, you know, maybe you should get my wife's recipe for this and this kugel. She makes the most amazing lakshan kugel. There are ways of complimenting in passing. So there are many ways to do it, but I think direct is also important. And if we're real about it, and I think the other side understands it. The question is, are we real about it? It's another question. Yes, Moshe.
Okay, so what comes to me is I'm not good at verbally, I'm not good at speaking. Especially when it comes to like making small talk, especially about fake things. If you look at my writing, it's okay, but when it comes to speaking, I just can't get words out. I tend to dig myself a hole a lot. What do I do?
Where'd you get that jacket?
Where did I get this? I remember. The store.
How many years have you had it?
A year.
A year. It's a pretty warm jacket, no?
I know what you're doing. It's not going to work.
You could fight it, but we could have a conversation about anything. Come on.
<He's> good,
Why can't we have a conversation about anything?
Look, I'll tell you. I had to give a class. I had to give a class about how to give a class. I had to give a class to a bunch of teachers. So I was on my way to give the class. What am I going to give the class about? So I'm walking and I'm looking at the street. I figure I'll pick up a piece of garbage. I'll give a class about that. So listen here. There's nothing you cannot talk about. You could talk about this cup. Isn't it interesting how they draw the cup in a way that you see like the steam coming up? Do you think it affects the way we want to drink it? And do you think that there's a difference if you drink tea in a cup that has coffee beans on it? Does it really affect your palate when you drink it? Now, another thing, did you notice that they make coffee cups brown on the outside? You know, did you ever wonder, does it affect? No, the externals really make a difference. The externals really make a difference. The Medrash says that the man had certain aspects of flavor and certain aspects it did not. You notice that we could talk about anything, Moshe? And the truth is, if you just start talking and imagine that you have to talk, you would. And we also mentioned in the last class that it's not so important that you participate in the talking. And we mentioned this class too. What's important is that you be an active listener. I once, when I was a kid, I overheard a lecture on body language. And I decided that, let me see if I could outsmart my teachers. So one class I decided, I'm going to give the teacher the feeling that I'm intently interested in what she has to say. So I said, I like this, the whole class. And at the end of class, she comes over and she says, it was such a pleasure having you in class today. And I was sitting there just working on making her think, like I remember the techniques I heard in body language. I was just working on, let's see, can I make her think I'm really interested? And then there was another class that I really disliked the teacher. So I said, I'm going to do everything to make him feel like I'm not interested. So I sat there and I made zero eye contact. And throughout the class, I was doing everything else. And the guy's giving class. You know, it's very annoying giving a class when the guy is not looking at you. Imagine even listening to the class when the guy's doing something like this. You don't even feel like listening to the guy. It's like really annoying. If there's no eye contact, you don't feel like talking to the guy. So there are all kinds of little cues that we could give a person that we're interested or not interested. Like, mm-hmm, yeah? Or you could say, uh-huh. There are slight nuances, and we all know them. So it doesn't necessarily have to be you initiating the conversation. You can just say, hi, how are you? And you know what? The same thing I always say about dating. If there's no conversation, be quiet. The natural flow of things is that the conversation will start on its own. You don't have to try and initiate a false conversation. But if you care about the person, then it should come natural to you to ask what their day was like and how things are going. And you know what their day involves, so you can ask. If you're newly married, so you can ask about her studies or her job. And if you have children, then you could ask about the children and other things that she's been doing. Then either she's studying or she has a job, so you can discuss that. No, I said, and if you've been married for longer and there are children, then you could then you could discuss the children or other things. I mean, there's an endless amount of things you can discuss, and you don't have to talk about the weather. But there's nothing wrong with talking about the weather, really. It's very strange the weather we've been having lately. Okay, so to summarize, we said that women and men have a need to talk. We haven't yet explored the male need to talk, but men also have a need to talk. We will talk about that bizarre more in the future. The women, we brought the different jokes about they're making it up their whole life. And the Medrash about Hashem saying, I didn't create her from the lips, but it's part of her nature. And the Gemara that says that women have 9 times as much potential for speech as men. And we discussed that men's speech is very practical, and women's speech is not at all geared to that. They also get the practical done, but their speech is more for the sake of connection, and that if we want to talk to them about things that are practical, then sometimes we would be wise to start with connecting by just letting the conversation flow. I didn't mean, Moshe, that you should just make up what to talk about and speak stupid things. No, let the conversation flow. You have a goal, you want to talk about something, wait. If you let the conversation flow, then you could ultimately reach that point. But give yourself 10-15 minutes, let the conversation flow, let yourself connect. We mentioned that sometimes the woman is just saying something to share, to impart what she's feeling to her husband, and the husband, being so practical-minded, automatically wants to find the solution. And we have to get accustomed to being good listeners. We said that it is our responsibility to give them the feeling that they are most important to us. And part of that is calling, sending word home. How are you? We discussed giving compliments and giving compliments with excitement. We discussed even Rav, who spoke no idle chatter. When it came to his wife, he took the time and he joked around with her. And we said that sometimes when she derides our compliments, we have to recognize that what she's saying is, say it with more conviction. Okay? So, we'll continue.